And we're back.
We're back.
Hello.
Hello. Feels like I just saw you yesterday and it hasn't been 5 years?
No.
I feel like it's been like 5 years. Yes, 2018, right?
Oh my God. I thought it was at least, okay, whatever it is, it's been a long time.
You're not the only one. I had a friend of mine recently, which is what made me go, oh, I should check in with Rachel. Maybe we should do this again. A friend of mine sent me a DM. He's like, oh, are you guys going to continue the podcast? I'm like, oh, I got to check with Rachel. Like, sure, I'm sure we'd love to. And he said something and I was like, it's been 5 years. And he went,
that
what do you mean?
Like, crazy.
It's been 5 years since he's done anything really major for us to do a podcast. And he went, I thought it was been like two or something. No?
Well, he did do that. We haven't even introduced the podcast yet, but he did do the dog movie.
He did two dog movies. But listen, I don't know about you, but doing two dog movies didn't seem worth coming back to do a podcast.
Yeah, bringing a whole podcast.
Yeah. Here's one episode. Bye.
All of this is to say, hi, guys. This is the Fordcast, Harrison Ford podcast. I almost introduced it as the Pedro Pascal because my brain has been like in that rhythm for so long.
Too many hot guys in your brain.
Yeah. To your point that this has been a long time.
And in case you forgot, I'm Lauren Milberger.
I'm Rachel Leishman.
And
we're back.
We're back. Because apparently Harrison Ford has unretired. Unretired? Not really. He just...
In a... Big old way.
Big old way. So this is dropping on a Sunday. We're usually going to be dropping on a Thursday, but we thought today would be a good day to sort of say hi and let you know what we're doing and remind you to watch Harrison Ford on a TV show today? On a television show. This is crazy.
One of two coming out.
One of two!
In a month and a week space.
I mean, I knew that Shrinking was going to come out in 23, but I didn't think it was going to be so on top of each other.
Yeah, it's been a really crazy time for my emails where I've been emailing people like, hi, I would like to talk about the show. Can I have screeners for their show? I would like to talk about Harrison Ford. Because I felt like I missed that ball.
Yeah.
As a younger journalist, I was like, I'm not going to ever get to write about Harrison Ford movies as they come out. And lo and behold.
You do. So if anyone has been in a Harrison Ford less hole. God, I'm bad at this.
Nope.
It's been a long time. today is 1923, which is a prequel to Yellowstone, which is going to be dropping weekly on Paramount Plus. And then we have Shrinking on Apple, which is a, well, I want to say wonderful because I know it's going to be great. But it's from the same people who did Ted Lasso, Brett Goldstein, and it's a
sick, and Bill Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence, thank you. I don't have everything in front of me because I'm trying to talk while bringing up the screen. So
is Bill Lawrence, Brett Goldstein, and Neil Goldman, I want to say. Let me check.
Thank you.
I think and Jason gold, I'm saying gold. Cause yeah.
And Jason Segel also wrote on this, correct? Or is that just the pilot?
He helped create it.
It is
Neil Goldman. It's Neil Goldman, Brett Goldstein, Bill Lawrence, Jason Segel helped create it. He was one of the like first people on the show. I have interviews with all of them that I'll post closer to the thing on the Mary Sue.
Awesome.
Because I did the press day for it. But yeah, it's that show is incredible. I haven't watched 1923 yet. Not for lack of trying. I've been catching up on Yellowstone.
Okay,
so
good.
That I can watch it.
This is going to be very helpful because I just don't have time to watch all of the Yellowstone genre. I mean, there's a lot of them. I'm happy that
surprisingly
prequel?
Not, though.
Oh, there are? I thought there was
not
like...
that. No.
Okay, tell me. Explain.
Each season's only... Well, the first season's only 9 episodes and then every other season's only 10. So... And it is like a network show. So the episodes are not a full hour. It's not that hard. Like I've been watching it like on and off to catch up because I had seen some of it. I hadn't seen all of it. And then I'm covering it for a couple of places and they were like, can you catch up? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I just started from the beginning and I've been going through it. But it is not that hard. I'm almost to season 4 and I started it like really rewatching it, I think, on like last Friday. So within a week, I am almost completely caught up on this show. I haven't watched the Sam Elliott one yet. 1886, I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, there is, I think, another one with Faith Hill, unless that's that one.
There's three, yeah. Isn't there? I thought there were three, unless this is counting as the third one. Oops, wow, I sound so unprepared.
Whatever it is, they're each a season, so like the prequel ones, and then the regular Yellowstone is in its fifth season. So I've been like watching that as it's aired and going back and rewatching.
I mean, I think the reason also is there's like a combination of two things. There's a combination of the fact that I was not expecting all of a sudden within a week to have all of these dates announced. I was shocked. I was like, wait, 1927 is coming out in December? Wait, what? And so I'm a little unprepared because I wasn't expecting it. Go ahead.
The 1923 came out of nowhere because like I had seen that picture and I was like, damn, I'm going to have to watch all of this Yellowstone now because of that picture of him and Helen Mirren like on the fence. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my mom watches Yellowstone. So I had like seen episodes. I had watched some of it. I had a tertiary knowledge of what was going on in the show because I love Wes Bentley and Kevin Costner.
I was going to say, it's the guy who did Hell or High Water. No wonder.
Yeah. And it's Taylor Sheridan. You're perfect for this. Yeah. I love Hell or High Water. And Gil Birmingham's in it. So I was like, where's Chris Pine, Ben Foster, and Jeff Bridges? Like, their time is coming. But I like was like, okay, well, I'll start watching so I can watch 1923. And then the show, like, they announced, like, okay, December. But also, Yellowstone always comes out, like, at the end of the year, I feel like. But it's just nutty how they basically mass produce these seasons of this show.
Yeah.
Because during the pandemic, most shows kind of took a break or had a hit where they were not airing or couldn't film anything. Yellowstone somehow had enough of a season banked that they just powered on through. Granted, I think their release date is in the winter, so that I think they kind of fell into that sweet spot where they had enough time to film it in the summer and then could – and they also film it in, like, Montana. So, like, that's where it's set. I don't know if that's where they actually film it. Mm-hmm. But whatever the case is, show is wild. Can't wait to see what this show is because I haven't watched the prequels, so I don't know how different they are from the actual Yellowstone and its chaotic energy. So –
I mean, the trailer looks great because I was going to say the other issue is, as I think if people remember the one time technically, Cowboys and Aliens. I don't know. You can count that as a Western, but I'm not a fan of Westerns. So that's why I also was like kind of putting it off, too.
I am not a fan of Westerns either.
But this looks really good. I have to say, this looks really good. And I've heard nothing but great things about Yellowstone. So I double checked it. So the Faith Hill Tim McGraw one is the same as the Sam Elliott one.
Okay, cool.
So 1923 is the third one. So I was thinking correctly. There are three, not three plus one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Westerns either, but Hell or High Water is one of my favorite movies because it's just about cowboys being sad. And that's essentially all Yellowstone is like – Wes Bentley, like my boss said that people can say that Yellowstone is like the Succession of outlet for cowboys. And I was like, sure.
Oh. I could see that.
Well, I was like, sure. And then I started watching it and I was like, oh, Wes Bentley is straight up like a Kendall Roy character. Like, he's like, I want my dad to love me. His dad does not. I'm obsessed with this show and I can't wrap my head around some of the stuff that happens. It's absolutely insane. But it does have me really excited about 1923.
Well, good. So you're going to help me as I sort of go through it. I was glad that at least it was a prequel. So if there's anything that I miss, if I don't get through Yellowstone completely, it won't matter because it's a prequel. So I wouldn't know. But sounds like it's in the middle. Maybe I should start with 1883.
I was just going to say you should start with 1883.
I think that's what I should do. I'll start with 1883 and then I'll move my way through it.
Yeah.
But 1883 is only one season, right? So I could probably catch up pretty quickly. Okay, cool. All right. So everyone's going to have to bear with me as I go. I'm not in that episode yet. I feel like the big thing that we need to talk about is the fact that we have a trailer for the new Indiana Jones.
We do have a trailer for the new Indiana Jones movie.
I did not expect to cry watching this trailer.
I was aware I was going to cry.
Very emotional watching it. You talk first.
Oh, I don't know. I knew going in. I was like, I'm going to cry over this. Like, I'm well aware. I don't need to fight it. I was like, I know I'm going to be emotional. And I was when he was a teacher. And then there was young Indy. I love that he's still a professor. I cried when I saw Sala. He has a wedding ring on in a lot of the promos, which makes me really happy.
I couldn't see them breaking them up. That would have been weird.
Not again.
No one would have wanted that.
But yeah, I love it very much. My brother hates the title. And he was like, that is such a dumb title. And I was like, no, it's not. Be quiet. I was like, first of all, they're all dumb. It's like, this is fine. Like, what does Last Crusade mean? Because technically then there are two other movies after Last Crusade. So, like, is it really the Last Crusade? But...
Well, I mean, in all fairness, at the time, they thought that it was this great, you know, double meaning, right? this is the last one. Like, and then they went, no, it's not.
There's two more.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole TV show, too. But...
Oh, did you see... the cut that the George Lucas chat show put together that was just like intercut with clips of old Indy from the TV series.
Yeah, because, you know, so good. I love the George Lucas talk show. I love them so much. But I was like, they always are chaotic. But yeah, I love the trailer a lot. I think I'm excited for Phoebe Waller-Bridge because I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And
well, same. Yeah.
I met Boyd Holbrook at New York Comic Con, and it was so funny because I had a picture with him, but then I ended up missing my picture, and they let me swap it for an autograph, and so I just, like, got cash together so I could get a picture at the table and get an autograph, and when I explained what happened to the handler, the guy handed me my money back, so it was the same price for a selfie and, like, a photo that I paid for my photo op, and I was like, oh, that was really cool, and then I was talking to Boyd Holbrook about Narcos, because I love Narcos, but then I was just like, also, I know you can't talk about it at all, but like, I am genuinely very excited for Indiana Jones 5. Those are some of my favorite movies. And he was like, it's so good. And was like talking to me about it. And I was like, I'm really excited for it.
Well, I think that was the thing, right? Like, I kind of had low expectations, or maybe I subconsciously wanted to because I didn't enjoy the last one. And so I was, I guess, surprised that the trailer looked so good that it surprised me that it was exciting. I mean, even just being a New Yorker when he rides the horse through the 59th Street subway, that's when I first started to cry. I was like, he's in New York. This is subway. He's here. of course, you know, when the music kicks in also, but it looks like a really great story. And I don't know why I'm surprised, but I love the fact that they're sort of using the whole, like, we're getting older, you know, our sort of silent days are behind us, you know, like using that as sort of the motif of the trailer really works because it's obviously what's really happening in real life. And same about him as a professor, like that shot of him just sort of pausing in sort of the stacks, probably like in his office or the back office, you know, with sort of a lot of the archives that they're using. I assume that's still the job because they cut from him doing a lecture to him sort of standing. It just felt very sort of like Professor Indy, but he kind of pauses and there's a light from above. It was really just very moving to me, I felt. And I'm excited to where it goes. And I was very happy that they already put out in the trailer. Yeah, so not a love interest. This is like his daughter. Like, we're not going to even have them flirt. Thank you. I really not like that to happen.
Well, yeah, and I gave Mangold credit. I was like, I never thought, like, oh, she's going to be his love interest. Like, that was never my first...
Yeah, but I was afraid they would. Afraid they would flirt. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was afraid that it was going to be sort of that sort of flirty, you know, kind of dialogue. And I think they can still fight, right? Because they obviously have a cantankerous relationship. But to already sort of put out, this is my goddaughter. I was just like, great, that works for me because then we don't have to worry about any of that sort of. It would have sort of made me uncomfortable with the age difference. Very uncomfortable. So I'm just glad that they did that.
Yeah. I love it so much. I watched it like three times that day. And it was one of those things where like, at Star Wars Celebration, when I saw him in the flesh and had my Elvis moment.
Yes.
It was funny because I interviewed Mary McCartney the other day for If These Walls Could Sing, which is like, I was freaking out because I was like, oh my God, I love Paul McCartney so much. Like, blah, 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 blah. But I was explaining to her like, we were talking about Beatlemania a bit, and I was like, yeah, well, I kind of had that moment seeing Harrison Ford. She was like, when I was like, yeah, like, this year, ugly screaming, like, so aggressive that I, like, pulled my mask down with my hands, yelling in a theater full of nerds because Harrison Ford walked on stage. And, like, to briefly explain what happened in this situation.
Yes.
John Williams is playing scores. Like, John Williams came out. He played the Andor theme for the first time. Like, we heard it for the first time by John Williams.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize that. That's
Or no,
nice.
Not the Andor theme. I'm so sorry. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, okay.
Because Andor is Nicholas Britell. Obi-Wan Kenobi. So we heard the Obi-Wan Kenobi theme for the first time because John Williams played it at Star Wars Celebration. So that was really cool. And then, like, he played, obviously, the Imperial March. He did a lot of Star Wars stuff. And then, like, he starts doing the Indiana Jones theme. My brain was like, oh, cool, Kathleen Kennedy is going to probably come. Like, maybe we'll get a title. That'd be really cool. And Kathleen Kennedy comes out. She's talking about Indiana Jones. And then she just goes, and Indiana Jones himself. And I was up on a chair screaming in, like, record time. And my friend just, like, turned with her camera and took a picture of me.
The picture is fantastic. I think it's so great that you have that picture.
But my brain never thought, like, oh, he's going to walk out on stage.
Well, sure.
Like, I thought of everything else. My friend was fully prepared to, like, she was doing press for it, and she was, like, fully prepared to, like, find a way to, like, hijack me into a room if he was, like, doing press so that I could be, like, just in the room. But he didn't do the press line or anything, but I was
that
like,
doesn't surprise me, yeah.
That's a real one. But she was like, I'm going to find a way to get you so that you can talk to Harrison Ford.
You know, I have to say also, going back to the trailer, the de-aging is not bad. It's pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's quick, obviously, but it's the best I've seen.
It's going to come down to the eyes, because that's always kind of been where it falls for me. I think the advantage in this case is that the people that they are de-aging are alive.
Yes.
Because it wasn't horrible in The Mandalorian, because when you think about it, Mark Hamill's face was relatively very smooth, and they very clearly, like, the thing that they
it's
erased
a little
from
robotic,
Mark Hamill's
though.
Face was his scars.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they erased his scars, and I was like, he has scars, and we knew he had them in Return of the Jedi. You should have just kept them on his face. But I do like they kept the chin scar, which obviously they have to in Indy, but, like, they kept it. And I just – I think because he was technically doing the scenes, I think it'll work because it's his eyes.
That's a very good point, yeah. I'm curious also. I think it's going to depend on how long the scene is, and it sounds like it's probably the opening teaser, so it'll probably be pretty short.
Yeah, because I think it's how he – you know, like, his relationship with Phoebe Waller-Bridge and stuff. But, yeah, I think I'm excited about it. I think why it's going to work is because he was there and he did it. And it's the same reason why I think the Civil War, the first big de-aging we saw, which was Civil War when Robert Downey Jr. is there. And people made fun of it. But I'm like, no, that's just what Robert Downey Jr. used to look like. Like, he was that baby-faced. And so I think it'll work really well with this because they had those actors where, like, the Carrie Fisher one, she was not on set. That was an actress.
Yeah.
The Luke, Mark Hamill was not on set. That was an actor. Like, and then obviously General Tarkin was not on set for that one. But, like, I think it'll work because he was there.
No, I think you're right. I think that helps. Obviously, the technology is much better now. And it's going to be easier to figure out once we see it. Was it just me, though? I feel like the villains he's going to run into in the present are in that scene. Or is it just that I assumed because they're all Nazis?
I think you assume because they were all Nazis.
Yeah.
Because I think Mads, unless Mads is supposed to be like a 19, Mads could just be a Nazi that got away. And so he could be a Nazi from, I guess, what, that's technically like the end of the beginning of the 50s? Or is that still in the 40s?
The flashback, I'm assuming it's the 40s just based on the fact that he's dressed in an SS. Ford is dressed in an SS uniform. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it's supposed to take place during Last Crusade, but that could just be my brain going, well, he's in an SS uniform, and that makes me think of the scene when they went to Berlin.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But I think – so it could be – well, no, because then Mads would be real – well –
No, it's the 60s. 50s, it's 69, right? Yeah. And like the 60s was a lot where they were finding that a lot of Nazis had moved to like Argentina.
So yeah.
I mean, it's 69. It's late 60s, obviously. But like I'm curious if they're going to go that route, right? That like all these Nazis are coming back because they were in hiding.
He already punched a Nazi in the trailer, so I was just like, great.
Yes.
This movie is right out the gate like, hey guys, remember that Indiana Jones punches Nazis? Case you forgot.
I feel like they learned from the last movie that, like, that's the best villain for Indiana Jones are the Nazis.
Just some Nazis. And he's like,
just bring out the Nazis. Yeah. And we all love to see him punch a Nazi. It's just really great.
It's my favorite thing.
I mean, I don't know if it's my favorite thing, but I enjoy it so much. It's definitely in my, like, top five.
Yeah, it's cathartic watching him just be like, pop. Oh, it's going to feel so good in 2023 watching him punch some Nazis. I'm going to be like, God, I missed it. So nice.
They know what we want.
Wish this was in 2016 and beyond. Just a constant stream of Indiana Jones punching Nazis.
I'm excited for the edits that's probably going to end up on online. Just like, here's a whole reel of him punching Nazis for your morning pleasure. Thank you. I'm just going to have this with my coffee. Put some music on.
One of the greatest things I've ever done, and I think it got taken down because of copyright, but it was worth it. Was when Richard Spencer, I think is his name. I don't know, the Nazi guy.
I know who you mean. When he got punched on the street.
Got punched in the face. I put it to the Indiana Jones theme. And so it was like, just like punched him in the face. And I was like,
that's
great.
Fantastic. I didn't see that.
And then now
that's
it's great. Nowhere. But it was there and it was worth it.
So I feel like very quickly, maybe we should just talk about shrinking for anyone who isn't aware. My understanding, and you correct me because... you know more about it than I do, yeah, is that it is about a shrink who has kind of an epiphany or a nervous breakdown and sort of his colleagues. Does that sound about right without giving anything away?
Sort of. It's a lot about grief, but it's about a shrink named Jimmy, which is Jason Segel, kind of overcoming grief and he's like at that point in grief where it's like it's been a while and everyone else has kind of like come to terms with everything and started to move on, but he hasn't. So he's like in that weird grief stage. So it's not fully like a breakdown, but it is like the, I'm still dealing with something that everyone else has kind of left behind.
Yeah. And is his wife who passed away?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's like him and his daughter, like she is trying to move on because she's a young girl and he's like kind of stuck. And then his coworkers all kind of are there for him and are his friends. And it's very much like an ensemble show. Like, I think every single character has interacted with each other. Within the episodes that I've seen, like, they've all interacted with each other in one way or another.
I think just the fact that it's from the people who did Ted Lasso, and even though it's called Ted Lasso, it's a pure ensemble show, that doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm excited about it. And
well,
I also
and it's Bill Lawrence, too, who Scrubs and Spin City.
Which means that we all know that he's really good at balancing that sort of comedy and drama, even if it's considered, like, quote-unquote a sitcom. And I feel like that's sort of the beauty of shows like Ted Lasso. And I'm very much – whether Harrison Ford was in this or not, I would be really looking forward to it.
Yeah. It is one of those – it's Brett Goldstein's one of the writers, and I think he's genuinely a very good writer. I obviously love him as an actor, but, like – I think he's genuinely like a very, very good comedy writer.
Agreed.
And so I was already excited because I also love Jason Segel, especially when Jason Segel is doing the
same.
Like,
and I'm just happy he's back, right?
Yeah. And I like when he's doing the drama comedy where it's like he's because he's very good at it. But I would have already been interested. They were like, and Harrison Ford. And I was like, great. I do not understand how you got Harrison Ford. And I don't think they do. After doing my interviews, I don't even think they knew how they got Harrison Ford. Because I think Jason Segel was like, yeah, I pitched it to him so that for a week I could be like, yeah, I pitched the show to Harrison Ford. And then he was like, yeah. And he's like, and then I didn't know what to do anymore.
Maybe they told him he could just wear his own clothes because it's very obvious that he's wearing a sweater we've seen him in a million times in the trailer. And then they matched
the
colors.
Suit jacket.
But the teaser, I mean. Like they, and then match the whole background of the color he's wearing. That's how much power he has. Like, oh, this is going to be this real sort of, you know, very light green.
The only character that he will wear a costume for is Indiana Jones. Everything else, he's like, my own clothes.
Well, I'm also convinced that, like, his own clothes are just clothes from other productions, though. Like, the fact that he has his contract that he can take his clothes, I think that sweater is probably from something else that we just don't know. I don't think he buys anything for himself.
For sure.
That's my guess. He just has people pick out his stuff. Okay, I'm going to take all this. Bye.
And he's right to do it.
Yeah. So, very quickly, we are going to be dropping these about once a month. So we're not going to do one episode at a time. We'll probably do about like one or two, maybe three. Although for February, because we have the end of 1923 and sort of corresponds with the beginning of Shrinking, we're going to probably do two episodes in February.
Yeah, we will. Just, I realized this isn't a podcast and I was throwing up peace signs.
I was like, what? Is that a signal to me to like stop? Like, what's happening?
Nope. That was just me forgetting it was a podcast.
Yes. And obviously follow us on social media so that you can find out when all this stuff is happening if you forget, and subscribe and all that stuff. I can't remember because I haven't done this podcast in a long time.
Yeah. Follow the Fordcast on social media. But Lauren, where can they follow you?
Oh, well, thank you. They can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and now Hive, because Twitter might go away, at Lauren Milberger. Where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Hive at Rachel Leishman. I'm also on Tumblr at Rachel Leishman, like rachelleishman.tumblr.com. And on Instagram, it's Rachel_Leishman. And TikTok, it's Rachel_Leishman, because, you know, somebody for some reason has that handle on just those two. Just those two.
I'm like nodding at you like as if like this is a visual podcast as well. I'm doing it too. Again. Like, yeah. Like, why am I doing this? I think that's pretty much everything. Obviously, Indiana Jones comes out June 30th. Mm-hmm. Remember, Shrinking is January 27th. That's a Friday. And then right now you can go to Paramount Plus and watch 1923. This is insane.
We're back.
We're back, but also, how is he doing all this stuff? My mother actually said to me, she's like, when did he film all this?
He flew bit to bit to bit on his plane. He just was like flying to the next
one. I don't know if using the word bit and his plane is a good idea.
Yeah, you know what? You're correct.
Because it makes you think you're going to say, and he was blown to little tiny bits on that plane.
Oh, no. On that note, until next time. Bye.
Bye.